Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. Let's go to some of the key statements in this area here. All right, this first statement, the prophet says, Jezebel, she ruled Ahab. She slammed him around. It used to be poor Papa, or he actually meant Mama. Poor Mama sat home with the babies while the drunken husband was out. Poor Papa now takes care of the baby while the drunken woman is out. Now that's not a joke, that's the truth. I'm not speaking of righteous people, no sir. I'm only showing you the spirit that is in the world. And this is very important, because there is a spirit that's in the world that we all have to fight. We all have to fight. Husbands have to fight it. Wives have to fight it. There is a spirit in the world, and what our objective is always to align ourselves with what is written in the Word of God. Amen. As Christians, we align ourselves with what is written in the Word of God. But there is a spirit in the land that we have to fight. All right. Next statement just says, if a little clique rises up, don't be on either side. If a little click rise up, just stay neutral. Don't get on either side. Don't talk on this side or talk on that side. Just stay right in the middle, and that way we can keep everybody together. If a click rises up, don't be on either side. Amen. Amen. All right, this next statement says, the nature of a woman is to submit to a man. And that's what the church ought to be doing, submitting to Christ, to his word, to his doctrine, to his principles. The nature of a woman is to submit to a man, right? That's just common nature for a woman to do that. This next statement says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Don't run over her. If you do that, you're not fit to be a husband. That's right. Glory to God. Thank God for the prophet. He gives us very, very common principles here that we can use in our relationships. The next statement that he makes here, he says, God made man a helpmate, not a doormat. Remember, she was your sweetheart. She should always be that. All right. He also makes a statement here, but when a man finds a woman that he loves, he don't know why, but he loves her, and she finds the man that she loves, no matter what he looks like, she loves him. That's an eternal mate in glory. Amen. When a man finds a woman that he loves, he don't know why, but he loves her, and she finds a mate that she loves, no matter what he looks like, he loves her, she loves him, that's an eternal mate in glory. And I'll tell you, before we even get there, Brother Random say, if you don't feel that way about somebody, if you're getting ready to marry, you better not marry him. Amen. You better not marry him. Marriage has its own challenges. You're gonna love has got to be the foundation of the relationship. And if you're just doing it because everybody else doing it, yours ain't gonna last like everybody else. You better make sure there is a true, genuine love there. All right now, all right. So let's start moving into this section here. We are looking tonight. Oh my, I think I got a misprint here. Hold on 1 second. No. Yeah, we're looking tonight at this verse, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, before we get to wives submitting themselves, we need to talk about what Paul is saying here, submitting yourselves one to another. Amen. Amen. Submitting yourselves one to another. That's very, very important. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I want to, again, give some practical teaching on this tonight, but let's just look at a little quote that's on this. Brother Ram says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Says, submit yourselves. And look at this statement here. This is a scripture. Paul is talking about marriage, right? But look at what Brother Branham say. Congregation, submit yourself to your pastor. And then look at this. Pastor, submit yourself to your congregation. Hello, somebody. Amen. You know, the pastor is actually the spiritual husband to the church. And the relationship that I have with you all should also look like the relationship we have with the Lord Jesus. Oh, my. Right? I couldn't do this without you. You can't do that without me. We need each other. Right? So here the prophet says this, submit yourself to your pastor, and pastor, submit yourself to your congregation. If a little clique rises up, don't be on either side. Submit yourself to the whole congregation. My God. Whether it's a family member or not, I can't take sides like that. It's got to be the word. Hello, somebody. So sometimes my family might get upset with me because I just got to stand with the word. Anytime you want to see a church fail, let the pastor always be siding with his family. And they be dead wrong. Hello, somebody. A family can mess up a church. Amen. Amen. Right. And so it's so important we understand these principles here, because this is how you keep people together. When a clique rises, if a little clique rises up, don't be on either side. Submit yourself to the whole congregation. Congregation, if you start in a clique, submit yourself to the pastor and the fear of God. See? Let's look at a couple quotes here. This is coming out of questions and answers number 4. Brother Branham he's asked a question. He says, Brother Branham, the Bible tells us that a wife should obey her husband, really submit to her husband, obey her husband. And let me just also add, people be wanting to write their own marriage vows and taking these words out. And I'm gonna just let y'all young people that ain't married, and if you ask Brother Jack to marry you, I want you to know, I don't mind you writing your own marriage vows, but I am gonna also do the ones that say honor and obey. Does it fit very well with scripture? So you can do yours and I'm gonna do mine. I just want you to understand, I ain't got no problem with you writing something real cute, you know. But I'm gonna put this in. So if, don't get mad. I'm letting you know ahead of time that this is the way we're gonna do this. Because I like that. I think that fits with scripture. Amen. All right. The Bible says that the wife should obey her husband. I am a Christian, my husband is a sinner. Now we already know there's a problem with that. He persecutes me in every way that he can for me not to go to church and read my Bible. And let me just mention that again. Unbelievers and believers should not be getting married. If they're not a believer, you don't have nothing to do with them. Amen. Oh, Lord. Don't be trying to win them. Let them already be won. And if you invite them to church, turn them over to somebody. So a young man want to come to church, well, I'm gonna let you come, but you're gonna talk with the pastor, you're gonna talk to one of these brothers, but you ain't gonna be talking to me. Now, you know, some people, what they do is they invite you, but they still got a little plug on the side going, a little relationship on the side, and they thinking, you know, that you think they done been turned over. They ain't been turned over to nobody. You got a plan here. Well, I tell you what you create, you're gonna have to live with. All right. But somebody, I advise you, young people, don't be looking for people outside in the world. Look for somebody in the church. And if they want to go to church, hear the address, and all you're going to get is a handshake. God bless you. But it ain't going to be nothing else. And give them some time. If there is potential, you just give them some time. Amen. Give them time to get to know the Lord. All right. The Bible tells us that a wife should obey a husband. I'm a Christian, and my husband is a sinner. He persecutes me in every way that he can. For me not to go to church and read my Bible and denies the word, what should I do? What should you do? Now listen, Brother Branham says, you're supposed to obey your husband, that's the word. Now if he tells you and refuses you to read the Bible, go to church or something like that, you don't have to obey that. It says, because he that won't forsake his father, mother, husband, wife, or whatever it is and follow me is not worthy of mine. God got to be first. Amen. And in relationship, God got to be first. God got to be over the wife. God got to be over the husband. God got to be over the children. It's got to be God first. Amen. Won't forsake his father, mother, husband, wife, or whatever it is, and follow me is not worthy of mine. Is that right? He goes on. It says, now, a man's not supposed to use that authority over a woman just because he's her ruler. Says God is her ruler above you, brother. See, and if your wife is doing something wrong, then now you got a right to tell her, and she's supposed to listen to you. But you haven't got no right to beat her or drag her around or do those things. No, sir. You see, God made a man a helpmate, not a doormat. Remember, she was your sweetheart. She should always be that. I look at this Ephesians 5:21 that tells us submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, and I ask the question, what does this look like? What does this look like? Brother Branham just used the example of a congregation submitting to the pastor and the pastor also submitting to the congregation. And I just want to give you just a natural example of something that happened to me when I was a manager, you know, on my job. I had two employees, and one of the employees had come to me and he says, you know what, Jack, you don't seem to care too much about what I do around here, and you know, you just you never ask me, you know, what I'm doing or nothing like that, and you just don't seem to care about what I'm offering, and you just don't meet with me enough. And I said, okay, so as a boss now, I could have just pushed him off and said, look, I'm the boss. I do this and I do that when I want to do it. But I had to submit myself to what this man was telling me. And then I had to change what I was doing in order to fit his style. So what I did, I decided, so you know what, every week, we're going to meet at this time on this day so I can just kind of sit and give you the attention that you need. You know, I want to hear your projects. You know, I want to hear about this, I want to hear about that. And I had to submit myself to him. So I thought it was a great idea. It was going very well. Him and I had a good understanding, a good boss-employee relationship. And then I decided, I said, you know, there's another guy on the team. I'm going to do him the same way. Every week I'm going to meet with him and listen to his projects. Well, I did that, and he got to go on a few weeks, and then he looked at me and was like, Jack, I really don't need to meet this much. Maybe once a month is good enough for me. I don't have things like this going on like that. So, you know, once a month is fine for me. And again, I had to come off my high horse because I'm the one came with the idea, I'm going to meet with you every week. He didn't need it. I had to submit myself to what his needs were. Oh, God. I had to submit myself to what his needs were, right? And when I did that, again, I reestablished a relationship with him, and him and I had a very good boss-employee relationship. So it pays to listen to people sometime and just submit yourself.
All right. Can't be one-sided all the time.
If you're submitting, you have to give up your right. Oh, I ain't going to get no amens. I know it. But when you're submitting, you're giving up your rights. And notice what the scripture says, submitting yourselves one to another. There needs to be some give and some take. It can't be a dominant relationship either on either side. It's got to be some give and take if you want it to be fruitful. I'm going further. Don't worry. You don't have to say, man, I'm going to still teach. One situation in submission that I recall, Brother Branham had a circumstance where he was giving some counsel to a couple. And I don't think it's a particular quote on it, but I know that there was a website. Brother Harold Beckett used to be on his website. He had just had all these testimonies of Brother Branham, things that Brother Billy Paul might have shared and all of that. There's just testimonies all over. And I remember kind of going through a lot of those testimonies. And one of them, there was a brother and his wife. They were looking for counsel, and they had financial issues in their home. They had financial problems. And so as Brother Branham was going through counseling this couple, he told the brother something. He says, why don't you let your wife handle the finances? Because, see, when this man had control of the money, they didn't have money. But his wife seemed to be a little bit more savvy with how to handle the finances. So he just suggested to the brother, why don't you let your wife? Now, most men would be like, wait a minute, it's, you know, not me. I mean, I'm the man of the house. I'm this. What if you would have been sitting with the prophet and the prophet would have told you, let your wife do that? You would find yourself in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. What does this look like? I wanted to bring in some practical things here. You all that don't get an opportunity to go to the little things that we do with the couples, and let me mention this really quick. I have to spend time with the couples. That is the backbone of the church. Strong couples, strong families is the backbone of a church, right? So it's extremely important. I don't want the single people to ever feel like I'm trying to neglect, but it's a different ministry to single people than it is to married people. The single people, my ministry is not to try to get them hooked up with nobody. You understand? That's not the ministry. Let's see how we can get you. And that's what a lot of these mega churches do. They, how to get you hooked up. Everybody can get hooked up. Some people single for different reasons. Amen. Right? So there ain't going to be a ministry to hook people up like that. Now, I want to avoid that. I know the devil can get into that. Right? But married couples, I have to spend time with them because they are the foundation, not just them, but their families, foundation of a church. You need to have young couples that you're working with. You need to have middle-aged couples that you're working with. You need to have older couples that can sow some wisdom in there. You got to have them all. That's what you need in a church. Now, some of this I'm going to talk about, some of the things I talk about with the married people. So y'all get just with this lesson tonight, you get an inside look as to some of the things I talk about. I went recently out to Arizona, and Brother Aaron McGarry wanted me to talk to the couples there, and I was coming through from New Mexico, yeah. And coming back through there, I ministered, and I took this scripture, Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I said, you know, what does this look like? What is this? Everybody want to jump to wife, submit yourself to your husband. You know, everybody ready. Brother's ready for me to get there, and then the sister's ready for me to get to husbands, love your wives. Let's stop, pause, submitting yourselves one to another. before we get into all of that? What does this look like? I've learned through some years, one of the things in submitting myself to my wife, she invited me to go to a marriage conference, and I didn't think I needed it. I didn't think I needed it. She thought I did, though. She was right. I needed it. I found out things in that conference that I'd never learned. And then I realized that, you know, I need more and more of that. Because as a man, I don't think certain ways. But my wife needs me to think that way, right? In order for my marriage to be a good marriage, I need to think a certain way. She got to think a certain way. We constantly submitting ourselves one to another. 30 years of marriage, we still submitting ourselves one to another. Well, when I went there to this conference, there were some things I got there, and I said, you know what, I got to use that, not just for me, but I got to share it with other people. And I've been sharing it. One of the things in how to submit yourself to one another is this tool that I've been given that I want to share with you tonight is called the 5 love languages. And I'm just giving you simple, meaning to it tonight, but when I get with the couples, I go to a deeper level on this with them. But these 5 love languages is a way for us to submit ourselves one to another. It's good for the husband to know what the wife's love language is, and then it's good for the wife to know what the husband's love language is. And then you have to be able to speak each other's love language. She just can't speak yours and you not speak hers. And same thing with the wife. You just can't expect him to speak yours and then you're not going to speak his. It's got to be submission one to another. Amen. Amen. And, you know, so these love languages, I'm going to even take it a little further. Even with your children, parents, your children have different love languages. And you got to learn how to communicate with those children with their love language. Amen. It make your household a little bit better. Look at this. One of the love languages is acts of service. And what this means is for people, actions always speak louder than words. And some of the actions are cleaning yard work, cooking, running errands, and taking care of pets or children. That is an act of service that speaks to somebody and that shows them that you love them. All right. Another love language is receiving gifts. Some people receiving a heartfelt gift that what makes them feel most love. These are things like flowers, favorite treat, or any other meaningful item. Now, what I found in my relationship with my wife is that flowers is not a thing that she always wants. I used to thought I was doing the right thing. I'm going to buy her some flowers and I'm gonna just give them to Sister Erica and I, oh, you know, this is just great. Well, she like, these things gonna die. And if you're gonna spend that kind of money on some flowers, why don't you just Zelle me? But that's the way she feel. Now another sister might be different than that. Like, no, don't Zelle me. Give me the flowers. Right? So receiving gifts might be somebody's love language, but it might not be another person's love language. But you need to understand that. And that's with husband and wife. If you understand that, you submit yourself one to another in this manner. Another love language is quality time. And this language is all about giving the other person your undivided attention. I found out when I went to that conference, this was my wife's love language. And she just needed quality time. She spent so much time with the kids all day long. She just needed me just to be focused with her quality time. And so I was trying to figure out how am I going to give some quality time. I work 8 to 9 hours a day. I got to drive 30 minutes to get to work, 30 minutes to get back home. By the time I get home, I'm ready to eat. And, you know, how am I going to get this quality time? Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, if you pray about it, God will give you an idea. Hello, somebody. If you really pray about it, God will give you an idea. If you're serious about it, if you want to submit yourself one to another, right? And what God gave me, he says, you know what? You got PTO time. And you don't have to take the whole day off. Your boss would appreciate that anyway. I told my boss, I only need a couple hours in the morning every few weeks.
I'm going to put this on the schedule, and I find a day that's not that busy in the office. I'm going to, a couple hours in the morning, and while the kids are in school, I'm going to take my wife to breakfast, and we'll have quality time with each other. She loved it. It worked out very well. I appreciated that. But I tell you, simple things like that will keep your marriage moving in the right direction. Hello, somebody. And not just when your anniversary comes that you go somewhere. Quality of time, you might have to put it on your schedule to go a little bit more than your anniversary. Amen, computer. I see it coming. It's coming right there. It came out and said, amen. Came from a screen. Thank you. But people need this. You need to understand this is how you submit yourself one to another. Just some practical teaching. That's all I'm giving. Words of affirmation. Some people need this. And for them, this language uses words to affirm people. You know, and constantly, this is one of the things my wife always, sometimes I can have the worst sermon ever. But I can always expect my wife, two things I expect my wife. She's going to be my amen corner. And after the sermon's all over, she'll say, good job. Sometimes I'll be like, hey, that wasn't a good job. I didn't think that. But she'd be the one always encouraging. She knows that I need those words of affirmation. It, you know, you don't stick you don't tell a person while they're down, don't kick them, right? But try to give them some words to lift them back up. Words of affirmation is very important. Some people need to hear that. Fathers, sometimes your children need that. Affirm them. Not always tell them what they're doing wrong. Tell them something they did right. And tell them that how you appreciate it. Sometimes you got to find a way to find somebody doing something good and then let them know about it. Words of affirmation. This last one is physical touch. To this person, nothing speaks more deeply than appropriate physical touch. And includes physical touch like hugging, kissing, holding hands. And most husbands, my God, that's one we got to get back to. Holding our wife's hand. Hello. Would your wife need that sometime? Hold her hand. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been married all these years. Yeah. Now is a good time to hold her hand. So y'all think these things don't apply. I'm going to show you just through the message how this applies. In the message, why are people so tossed about? Brother Branham says, I stood a few weeks ago where there was a big tent erected, not slamming, God forgive, where a man said he could cast out evil spirits, which I have no doubt of that. But evil spirits are not cast out by cruel, indifferent living. The most powerful weapon there is in the world is love. I stood by a little lady the other night where her husband was fixing to leave her and marry another woman, a very fine known couple. I looked at her. She said, well, I'm going to leave, Brother Branham. I said, don't do it, sister. Told me, said, oh, my husband, his ministry will be ruined. What can I do? I'm going to New York, and I'm going to get me a job. I said, don't do it. Don't do it, sister. What can I do, Brother Branham? I said, go up to him. He said, well, I found the lady's picture. So she done caught him in the act of something, and I found the lady's picture, and I broke it up, and I done so-and-so. I did that. Brother Branham said, I see that, but I said, go up to him. Put your arms around him. And say, sweetheart, no matter what you've done, I still love you. And the prophet said, that'll do it. Not taking her picture and ripping it up and throwing it all over the place. Go up to him. Put your arms around him. That put your arms around them, that's physical touch. And then when you say, I still love you, that's a word of affirmation. And Brother Branham said, that'll do it. And you know what he said? It was right. That family stayed together because they used something as simple as this. Brother Branham might not have used the language that I'm using here, but it's the same principle. Come on, somebody. A young fellow come to me not long ago. He was a Pentecostal. He's seen too many of these meetings, and he goes in, and his wife is a staunch Lutheran. She said, well, I guess y'all went down and shouted last night. Said, I guess you were all speaking in tongues and doing all this last night. He got out on the floor, said, God, I cast the devil out of her. I cast the devil out of her. Brother Branham said, almost a divorce case. Man, a fine man. This man almost divorced his wife, or his wife almost divorced him because of the way he's handling the situation. Look at this. He come to me and said, Brother Branham, we're going to have a divorce, I guess. He said, I just can't get that devil to move out of her. Now, let's keep going. I said, Brother, you're going at it the wrong way. I said, when she starts like that, say, all right, dear. Bless your heart, honey. And look at this. And be real kind to her. Look at what he say. Just see how much you can do for her. Now, when he's saying that, that's an act of service. Not only is it an act of service, but it's him submitting himself. Y'all ain't going to talk to me tonight. Be real kind to her. Just see how much you can do for her. He said, Brother Branham, well, how will I ever get the devil out of her? I said, you do as I say and just keep praying in your heart. Now, that's another one, praying in your heart, not out loud. Now, I cast the devil out. Pray in your heart, brother. See, I said, God will take care of the rest of it. He called me up about two or three weeks later and said, my home's revolutionized. He said, my wife is a different person. I said, which is the most powerful? Screaming and kicking and stomping? Or fill your heart full of love. God is love. God so loved the world. This man was affirming his love regardless of their differences. Love was displayed and it revolutionized their marriage as he performed acts of service. Philippians 2. Verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. See, this is key. Let it, don't do it through strife and vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. There's another statement Brother Branham makes. He says, you know, when you're a Christian, it's always God first, others second, yourself last. When you put others second, then you're submitting yourself to others. God first, others second, yourself last. He goes on to say this in the scripture, look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the greatest thing that we know about our Lord Jesus is that he was a true servant. He was what we call a servant leader. And if we can learn as husbands to be that type of way, you'll find that it's very easy for our wives to be submissive. They love, Brother Branham said it there, that it's just in a woman to be submissive, but we gotta be good servant leaders. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. verse 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Not by constraint. But willingly, not for filthy lucre. You don't preach because of love offerings or tithing and offering. You know, you got to preach when it ain't no tithing and offering. And you got to know that if God has called you, he's got to be the one to make a way. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. There's sometimes places that I would go and preach, and there is no love offering given, but the people were blessed. And as long as God don't let me go in debt over it, I'll go again. Amen. If God can provide, I will go. But you can't, that can never be a preacher's heart. I'm going because it's a love offering. Don't ever do that. Satan will trip you up over something like that. Amen. Brother Branham told us that a minister got to be watchful of three things: women, money, popularity. Got to watch those things. Look at this. Verse 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock, or an example to the flock, not lord over there. Again, the pastor got to submit himself to the congregation, just like the congregation got to submit themselves to the pastor. Let's keep reading. And when the chief shepherd, got to remember who the chief shepherd is. I'm an under shepherd. But the chief shepherd, Christ, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I remember when I first started the church, one of the pastors told me in the area, God's called him home. But he said, brother, God just making you a greater servant now. That's all you are. You're just a greater servant. And he ain't telling none but the truth. None but the truth. And you go from one situation to the next situation, serving. Brother Branham called it Pastor Mr. Lily. Everybody come and get something. You know, every bug coming to get something out that lily. And you got to constantly feed yourself so you have something to feed the people. And, you know, people thinking that the preaching part is, that's where all the glory. No. I can tell you, when it comes to pastoring, preaching is about 10% of the job. It's what you have to do after you preach. I got to meet with this one, got to meet with that one, got to go here. That's the real pastoral shit. Amen. Glory to God. And one person told me, say, you become a public servant. You want to know what a public servant is? That means people that don't even go to this church, I got to serve them too. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to me, but I. People that don't even go to this church, they might have one family member in the church, but I'm serving the whole family. You know, Elijah was Jezebel's pastor. Now, she didn't know it, but Elijah was her pastor. All right. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Now, I'm going to just inject this. Young people. People that have been here on this earth a lot longer than you know a lot more than you. And you're going to have to learn to submit yourself to older people. You don't know it all. You don't know it all. Submit yourself to older people. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. They all of you be subject one to another. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Let's go on here. I got a couple more quotes that I want to read. This one's coming out of Revelation chapter 4. Brother Branham says, now we want to watch this now where it was, and the sea of glass was before the throne and before the holy place. Now remember the seven golden candlesticks set here like this and come in a laver. See, now that's the one reflects the light from the holy place out to here. Now you don't have to write this down unless you just want to, but that's, I got something else here I draw. You see, this was called the sea of brass. It wasn't quite that big. It was set over more or less positionally in the temple. It was set along about like this here. It was a sea of brass. It was a laver made out of brass where they washed the sacrifices. Before the sacrifices was burnt or accepted, they had to be washed. Oh, wouldn't that make a sermon right now? Oh my, wouldn't that just, it just strikes me. Washed before any sacrifice is received to God, it's first got to be washed. How? Not emotionally, but washed by the word. Now we could go back and get where this Jewish rabbi, when I was preaching on that sermon of the waters of separation, the red heifer waters was kept up, that they were made of waters of separation. And before we can ever come to God with true faith, we first got to come by the waters of separation. Yes, sir, you got to come by what? The word. Oh, let me just see if I can talk just so that everyone would get it. Now put on your spiritual thinking. Take off the war bonnet and put on your spiritual thinking now, because here comes something. Washed, before it can be received at the altar, must first be washed by the waters of separation. Now turn with me right quick to Ephesians 5. Just hold your place and go back just a few pages back to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and the 26th verse, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church he's speaking of. See now, let me go back a little further than that. Go back about the 21st verse while you're looking. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit yourself, congregation. Submit yourself to your pastor. Pastor, submit yourself to your congregation. If a little click rises up, don't be on either side. Submit yourself to the whole congregation. Congregation, if you start in a clique, submit yourself to your pastor in the fear of God. See, oh brother. And he goes on here, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, because he is your Lord. Now, we know, according to scripture, that Sarah called Abraham her Lord. You find that in Genesis 18:12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. Sarah called Abraham her Lord. And I love the way Brother Keith Brown kind of says this. For a wife to call her husband Lord, is she saying it like Sarah, my Lord, with adoration? Or is she saying, my Lord? It's how we conduct ourselves, how we treat our wives, what calls her to want to actually call my Lord, right? So Brother Ram says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, because he is your Lord. And it's a lowercase L too on that. I hope you caught that. Lowercase L. Amen. She has a higher Lord than you, my brother. Amen. How many knows that, you women? That's exactly right. The Bible said, so at the beginning, it's still the same way. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. So is the husband. You ought to know that, you married people and adults or children that's old enough to know the way of life. All right, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Don't run her over. That's what the prophet said. As he's reading the scripture, you can see he's injecting thoughts just the way I just did. He's saying, yes, you are her Lord, right? But you got to love her the way Christ loved the church, and say, don't run her. her over. Amen. Don't run your wife over. Sometimes in our words, we can just run our wife over. Amen. Right? We got to be careful with that. And you wonder why she want to pack up and leave. Maybe it's the way that she's being treated. Amen. Right? And same thing with you, wife. You wonder why your husband want to just get up and leave. What environment are you creating in the home? What type of environment are you creating in the home? Are you creating an environment where your husband loves to come home? Hello? I want an environment, man, I want them pots got something in it and something smelling that, my God, an aroma. He just can't wait to get here to eat. Husbands, what about maybe sometimes you tell us, I don't want you to cook tonight. I got you. You be cooking all the time. I did this years ago. Brother Wesco is my example. Brother Wesco said his wife cooked all week. He was not going to let her cook on Sundays. And I remember I didn't even have no money to go out to eat. But I had to find something somewhere. I'm taking my wife out to eat. I'm taking my wife out to eat. And I've been doing that for a long time. I can't remember the last time my wife cooked on a Sunday. Probably when we have a big something. That's when she'll cook on a Sunday. But most of the time, I'm going to take her out to eat because I appreciate what she does for me. She serves me. I serve her. We submit ourselves one to another. Is that in the Bible? Did y'all read that tonight? Because I know most churches don't. They skip over that verse. But I'm stopping and I'm pausing. Time out. Did we read this? How we do this then? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Don't run over her. If you do that, you're not fit to be a husband. That's right. That he might listen. Here it is. Get it now. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the congregation. I'm sorry, by the word. It says, then every worshiper that ever gains access into this has to come by the word. There's too many comes otherwise. I believe in little stories and things about mother died long years ago and she's waiting for you in heaven. That does all right after the word has been applied. Many people come to the altar because they want to meet their mother in heaven. That's all right. You should do that. But that's not the reason that you come to the altar. You come to the altar confessing your sins because Christ died in your stead by the word. Then any sacrifice that has not come according to the word is unaccepted then. Is that right? Let's just pick up one more scripture here for tonight. Colossians 3. Starting at verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, last week we took that same verse and we're saying how you have to encourage yourself. Now, look at what Paul say, admonishing one another. Sometimes you got to bring encouragement to somebody. And how you do it? Sing them a good song. Read them a song. Find something that you can give them. I was sharing with how I was going through something on my job, and Brother Robles called me up and said, Brother Jack, here's a good psalm that you can read, Psalms 5. So every time I look at Psalms 5, I always put his name right there, and it helped me through the situation I was going through. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And that goes right back to the first quote that I read. Brother Ram said, if you're having you do something that's against the word of God, you ain't got to submit to that. Amen. Says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and look at this one, and be not bitter against them. If you let that bitterness get in, it will do some damage in your relationship. So you got to find a way. Don't be bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. God, it helps us in our daily lives as Christians, as believers. It helps us. So I pray, Father, that what we've heard here tonight is something that we can apply practical. Sit down and apply it in our relationships. Families can be strengthened by what we've heard here tonight. Husbands and wives can be strengthened. Children can be strengthened. Lord, I pray this just be something that would just help us, even the young people that are not married, things that they can hold on to that would help them in their future. God, Paul wrote this, and you put it in him to write. There was a reason for it. You knew what we'd be facing. There's a spirit in the land today. And God, we want to be overcomers. So help us, oh God, to apply the word in this hour, to hear your voice speak to us through what we read, through what your prophet has shared, through what the Bible is sharing. Help us to hear your voice. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Announcements here that I'll give. So Sunday morning, we'll be here in prayer. And then on, that's from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then at 10:30, our service will start. Also, our streaming will continue through Twitter, Facebook, as well as our church website, john423.org. And this Friday is our home tape service. It's Show Us the Father, and that's 6207-22. So that'll be Friday at home, and I trust that everyone will get a chance to listen to it. Also, don't forget, next Wednesday, we won't have service because the school will be closed. But we will have a youth questions and answers at our home. We'll be hosting the young people doing questions and answers. And what a perfect time for the husbands and wives to have a date. Amen. Perfect time for the husbands and wives to have a date. So get some quality time. But questions and answers next Wednesday, July 12th, 7:30 p.m. And don't forget, the Labor Day meetings will be coming up September 1st through 3rd, New Albany, Indiana. That's Friday is September 1st, going through Sunday. Two services on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then coming back home on Monday. So keep those meetings in mind and in prayer, and trust that you'll have an opportunity to go and be a part of it. I keep forgetting to mention this to you all. But we're trusting the Lord that we'll have a successful closing, and such is the case. I want y'all to keep y'all schedule open first week of October, because just what do I want to call it? Just put a place marker. Don't try to plan anything around that time, because everything go well. I want us to do a dedication around that time. So first week in October, just keep that in mind. It'll probably start on a Wednesday night and go through Sunday. So just letting everybody know ahead of time. I got so many people that I want to be a part of it, different preachers. So just keep it in mind. Keep it as a place marker on your calendar. I think it's October 4th through the 8th. We won't put it up there on the screen, but just I'm telling y'all, so just put that on your calendar. October 4th through the 8th is when we look into, if the Lord would bless us, that's when we want to do a dedication if everything goes well. All right. Our giving is through Cash App, Zelle, PayPal. Cash App is Spirit and Truth T. Zelle, giving at john423.org. And PayPal, giving at john423.org. Also, you can mail in Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222462, West Palm Beach, Florida 33422. And as I'm saying, you know, that y'all probably thinking, oh man, that's a lot of services. Just remember that quote, congregation. Hello, somebody. Submit yourself to the pastor. Pastor, submit yourself to the congregation. And I promise you, once we get through that week, I'll probably give you the next week off so you can recoup and plan something the next week. But just the dedication won't be the same if y'all, if the church is not there. So I just love for everybody to be there. It's like a little revival, right? But it'll be ours. It'll be ours. So let's keep things in prayer, and we'll just again put that on your calendar. Before we leave tonight, anybody have a praise report or prayer request that you'd like to share? Yes. Saw some hands in the back. Sister Brenner. Certainly thank God for that. Yes, my brother. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Tina. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Okay, your son. Okay, all right, no problem. Okay. Anybody else? Yes?
I'm going to try to remember every request. If I forget one, y'all bear with me and just know that we're going to lift it all up to the Lord. I'll try to remember all the names if we can. Anybody else before we close this section? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come on behalf of many of the requests of the saints. Brother Trellick's son, the officer Carlos, who passed and no benefits, Lord, because it was your plan, not theirs, but you did it this way. This family needs you to undertake for them, and we ask that you would just move, Lord, every mountain that they have. May you supply every need. May hearts be drawn closer to your Father through all of this. May you prove to be Jehovah Jireh to each of them, God, is our prayer. Sister Dottie, Brother Nathan's mom, Lord, who's just been feeling a little pain in her body, and she's been going through so much that she's looking for you for guidance, for direction, for strength. And God, we ask that you would just undergird her, that you would help her through this time. This man, Willie, that the Morales has met, Father, that he confessed that he messed up, got hanging with the wrong people, and now he's in a condition like this. But we pray, Lord, that you would just help him, that you would just draw closer to him, God, and thank you that they were there to pray with him, and God, maybe encourage him in the faith. Also, this lady that Brother Jerry met, Tina, who is dealing with stage 4 cancer, doesn't have a place to live, and God, she says she doesn't want to go just yet. So God, you can intervene. We have seen you do it before. We know you can do it again. Someone that had, I believe it was Brother Siggy's mother-in-law, that had stage 4 cancer, and it was reversed. The doctors testified that it was no longer in her body. So we know you're able to do that for Tina, and we ask that you would do it. If she does not know you as her Savior, may she come to know you in that manner as well. Through this entire situation. Father, we just commit all these requests. If there's other unspoken requests, we pray that you just hear the hearts of your people and what their needs and desires are. We thank you for touching Mary, God, raising her up, bringing her out of a coma, and now she's back on her feet and doing the things that she normally does. Thank you for touching her, Father. Prayer, you are God that still answers prayer, so thank you for honoring, Lord, the prayers of the saints and hearing that. And I pray her heart would also be turned towards you, and that she would follow you, Father, all the days of her life. We ask, God, that as we leave this place, but not your presence, that you would go with us, that you would keep us, Lord, and bring us back at the appointed time on Sunday morning. May the Spirit of the Lord meet us here in a very, very special way. And God, just remember some of the saints. I know Sister Michelle and Sister Charisse are traveling. God, pray that you would be with them and keep them while they're away and bring them back safely. We also want to remember Sister Robles, God, in this time, Lord, that she's just dealing with so much, and we pray that you would carry her through. May this be that time she can look down in the sands of time and see that one set of footprints and realize that it's you carrying her at this moment. So, Lord, we pray that you'd be with her, her children. Help them all, Lord, during this time is our prayer. And God, we just pray your blessings upon the saints as they leave this place, but not your presence. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. Our brothers will come to dismiss you.